Hi, this is ETF.com's Exchange Traded Fridays podcast, a weekly podcast covering developments in the ETF industry. My name is Sumi Roy, and I'm senior analyst for ETF.com. So it's Friday, April 19th, and I just had the pleasure of attending an amazing event yesterday, the ETF.com Awards in New York City. If you listened to last week's Exchange Traded Fridays episode, you heard me and my colleagues Kent Tooney and Rondé talk about what you could expect at the award show. So now that the show is over, it's only right that we follow up with a recap on this week's episode. And I'm pleased to say that Kent, Ron, as well as the rest of our editorial team, Jeff Benjamin, Lucy Brewster, and Kristen Myers, are all here to break it down with me. What's up, guys? Great to see you all in person.
Hey, Sumit. Thanks for the invite.
Great to see you too.
Absolutely. So what did you guys think of the award show? Kent, Ron, I know you went to the show last year while it was the first time that Lucy, Jeff, Kristen, and I went. Any thoughts?
It was a lot better this year. I mean, last year was great. So let's just say there were several things that were improvements. The audio was a lot better. The room was a little more intimate because they had just done some rearranging. And the room felt great. Again, though, the crowd was fabulous. Food was nice. Good networking. It was a nice night.
I would second that, Ron. I thought that I can't put my finger on it exactly, but the overall vibe just seemed better. Everyone just seemed happy to be there, of course, because they're nominated, but also they get to mingle with so many industry insiders. So and the weather wasn't great, but it still held off. And I went up on the rooftop and everything. So it was a really nice show. I really liked seeing the wide range of nominees as well. You had large companies like Capital Group and Vanguard, and then smaller ones, you know, like Sprott, different companies represented there. So I enjoyed the overall. Look forward to next year already.
Yeah. So, I mean, this was my first awards that I got to attend. And I think that what the awards really showed was just how much innovation and excitement and upward momentum is happening inside the ETF space and the ETF industry. To piggyback a little bit on what Kent was saying, you know, we saw almost every corner represented last night at the awards. You know, there was crypto companies and crypto issuers that were there. There were actives that were there, passively managed funds that were there, funds that are looking at large cap companies, funds that are looking at mid-sized to even smaller cap companies, companies that are really focused in on tech, others that are focused in on defense. So there was just a really wide range of funds that were represented yesterday or in the evening. And so it was really, really nice to kind of see all of that come together in one room.
Yeah, I totally agree. It was also my first ETF.com awards, and it was really fun to meet some people who I've interviewed on the phone or on webinars or even on, you know, this podcast in the room and get to meet everyone face to face. And yeah, it was just a really great group of executives and issuers. So it was fun to all get together in person.
Yeah, I agree with you, Lucy. It was nice to see a lot of people that we only talk to on the phone and see them in person and network with them a little bit. It's also nice to see all of you folks, my colleagues, and because we're spread all over the place usually. And I think Kristen did a great job emceeing. I really liked Kent's red bow tie. That kind of made the night for me. I'm hoping that if not next year, maybe the year after that or the year after that, I'll have the guts to wear a bow tie myself.
Well, I'm looking forward to that, Jeff. I think, it was a great event, like you all said. You know, it's my first time there, but it really did exceed my expectations. Honestly, the food was amazing, too. The catering over there, I was not expecting, you know, such great salmon. Delicious.
Yeah, it was good.
Yeah. So let's talk about, you know, some of the winners of the awards. Now, I want to get to the big categories like ETF of the year and stuff like that in a bit. But before we go there, I know three of you, Ron, Jeff, Lucy, and I know Kristen, obviously, you presented a bunch of awards. So why don't we talk about some of those awards that you guys presented? Why don't we start with you, Jeff?
Yeah, I was presenting the best ESG ETF of the year. And the winner was the Xtrackers MSCI USA Climate Action Equity ETF, ticker USCA. It's about $2 billion in assets in that fund. The expense ratio is 7 basis points. And I think it's up about 6 1/3 percentage points this year. So, yeah, it was, I don't know, it was, the whole thing was fun. It was fun getting up there on stage and announcing the winner, like you were at the Oscars or something like that, which I don't know what that's like. I've never been to the Oscars.
There is a lot of cheers for that ESG ETF, which is, I don't know, maybe a little bit surprising given, you know, the ESG situation with ESG nowadays.
Yeah, ESG has been operating or living under a little bit of a dark cloud for a few years. Things got a little bit political there. I think they still are political there. Performance has been questioned. They tend to be a little bit higher priced, although that one is not 7 basis points. But, you know, who knows? To me, it seems like a good idea to have the screens in place that most ESG funds employ. But they need to figure out a way to get themselves separated from the politics, I think, in that category.
So, Ron, I know you presented an award as well. Which one was that one?
I did the award for the best new smart beta or factor ETF, which went to the Avantis All Equity Markets Value ETF, ticker AVGV, which is a somewhat new fund, also only not even a year. It's late June 23, $65 million fund. And it outperformed its category average last year while providing investors with a low-cost, tax-efficient, and globally diversified portfolio.
Yeah, looks like a value ETF. Obviously, factor investing in general hasn't been in vogue recently with the S&P 500 just crushing everything. There hasn't really been a need to invest in factors, but obviously, you know, these products still have demand, and, you know, that was a very worthy winner. Lucy, which one did you present?
So I presented the best new U.S. equity ETF award and the Fidelity Disruptive Technology ETF, FDTX, won that. And that was actually converted from a mutual fund this past year. So it is a new ETF technically, and it's active and targets businesses that have a lot of upside potential for market disruption. But it was Fidelity wasn't there, so we accepted the award on their behalf. But, you know, there were a lot of great nominees in that category. The Brown Hill Mag 7 ETF was nominated, the ProShares S&P 500 High Income ETF, Storia. So it was a really competitive award, but it was really fun to present. I'd never done it before, and it was fun to get up there. So yeah,
that's an interesting find. We haven't heard disruptive technology a lot. Remember ARK Innovation? That was a big one, you know, a couple of years ago. Disruptive technology was all anyone could talk about. But you know, obviously with AI, you know, being the story of the year, it seems like this is an ETF that might resonate with investors going forward. Kristen, I know you presented, you know, a handful of ETFs. Is there one or two that stand out to you?
Well, I think the category I'd really love to highlight would be the Lifetime Achievement Award, which is actually the first award that we really kicked off the night with. And that went to Jan Van Eck over the CEO at Van Eck. Just, again, a really incredible group of nominees. I mean, some of the other nominees included Andy Schlossberg, president and CEO over at Invesco, Bob Pisani, correspondent at CNBC, Joanna Gallegos, who's the co-founder of BondBlocks, was also a part of that group, as well as a couple of others. But again, Jan really has almost 3 decades of experience in this industry, launching the ETF business over at Van Eck, I believe in 2006. So he's just someone who's really been in the space for a really long time and had a nice message that I think really, again, talked about all the changes that have gone on in the ETF industry over the last couple of decades and essentially where we're going to be going to next. And I think the rest of the awards that came after that really kind of highlight again that forward-looking innovation and progress that we're really seeing in the ETF space and industry.
Well said. And VanEck is such an important firm in the ETF industry. It's only right that he won that award. I want to now talk about, you know, some of the big awards, you know, the ones, you know, that we left to the end of the show. And that those include, you know, Best New ETF of the Year and, of course, ETF of the Year. Let's start with Best New ETF of the Year. You know, there were some really, you know, high quality ETFs in the nominees for this category. We're talking about things like, you know, the Roundhill Generative AI and Technology ETF, ticker symbol CHAT was a nominee, the ProShares S&P 500 High Income ETF, iSpy, and several others. But the winner ended up being the Roundhill Magnificent 7 ETF, MAGS, which I don't think is, you know, necessarily a surprise. The Mag 7 was kind of this new term that came about last year, right? Before that, it was FANG. And then all of a sudden, everyone switched to Mag 7. I didn't even know what it meant, but everyone just kept talking about it and it really caught on. And then suddenly you have an ETF with the Mag 7 name on it. So, you know, I think it really did deserve, you know, winner of Best New ETF just because of that name and how Mag 7 is really, you know, the term everyone uses to describe those mega cap, you know, giant tech companies. They don't use FANG anymore, right?
I'm really glad you mentioned this one, Sumit, because again, we've been kind of talking about how the awards just were really emblematic of all the changes that we're seeing, not just in the ETF space, but frankly, in just the world of finance and investing and the markets in general. And you're right, FANG is, I don't want to say FANG is out, because obviously those tech companies are still incredibly important. But we're just seeing this new iteration and run of the tech companies. I mean, we're in a macro environment right now where interest rates are higher for longer, which typically keep these major tech companies, these mega cap tech companies under pressure. And yet and still, I mean, the tech companies have really been leading the charge. And so I think it was almost only right that we saw Mags essentially clinch that prize.
Definitely, definitely. And I think it's going to be interesting to see, you know, maybe this year if we see something like a, what is it, Fab Five, Kent? Like, because some of those companies are underperforming in the Mag 7. So I think it's become Fab Five, Fab Four.
Well, I've seen Fab Five, you know, just kind of maybe temporarily removing Apple and Tesla just because of the drop in their stock price. But you're right. As a whole, still, I mean, Mag 7 stocks. I mean, if you had this ETF, you know, Mags, MAGS, you still would be doing well this year. So yeah, it's interesting all the different groupings of stocks, and also, I mean, it just points out what ETFs can do. I mean, you can just carve out your own index, whether it's seven stocks or 700. And it's in demand. I mean, so if investors want it, you can create it and put it on the market.
Absolutely. And that's why we're probably not going to see a slowdown in the number of new ETF launches anytime soon. That brings me to the final category I wanted to talk about, and that is the ETF of the year. There were, again, some great nominees on this list, everything from, you know, the Bitwise Crypto Industry Innovators ETF, BITQ, the JP Morgan NASDAQ Equity Premium Income ETF, JEPQ. But ultimately, the winner of this award was the Pacer U.S. Small Cap Cash Cows 100 ETF, ticker symbol CALF. It won ETF of the year, and I think deservedly so. CAF has just been an amazing performer. The Russell 2000, everyone talks about how, you know, a big percentage of that small cap index is unprofitable, right? And in an environment of high interest rates, those companies are really suffering. And we've seen the Russell 2000 underperform the S&P 500 quite significantly this year. But you have something like CAF, which is, you know, only buying the highest quality small cap stocks, the ones with the highest free cash flow yields. And it's been outperforming the Russell 2000 significantly. This is a new way to essentially invest using a value lens, but in a completely new way. It's looking at cash flows. It's not looking at traditional metrics like book value and things like that. And CAF is the small cap version, but we've seen COWZ, COWZ, the large cap version, do phenomenally as well. Pacer has just been knocking it out of the park, and it's deserved that they won this ETF. Any thoughts from you guys on CAF winning ETF of the year?
I'm not surprised. I mean, you kind of think about different categories, whether there was a surprise or not. You know, the investors are clearly attracted, and that's another angle on these awards is that the winners typically reflect what the investors are wanting and what they're attracted to. And so I like seeing that reflected there as well. So no surprise on CAF winning.
Absolutely. So guys, it was a great show. I'm already looking forward to next year's award show. What is it, like 363 days away? Until then, I think we're going to have to just, keep writing about ETFs, keep doing what we're doing at ETF.com. And it's been amazing seeing you all in person. We don't get to do it as much as we'd like, given, like Jeff said, we're spread all across the country. But, thanks so much for, joining me on today's podcast. It was fun chatting about, the show.
Thanks, Amit. It was a good time.
Thanks, Amit.
Thank you.
Yep, thank you.
Thanks, Amit.
Listeners, I hope you enjoyed this episode. You can find this and all other Exchange Traded Fridays episodes on ETF.com or on any major podcast platform. See you next week.